Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our gospel lesson, Luke chapter 2, beginning at the 22nd verse. Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, my eyes have seen your salvation. Those are the words of Simeon in the temple. Lord, my eyes have seen your salvation. The salvation given by the true God, not from some other God, as if there were any such thing. And not only that, it's not just the true God, but there's one salvation. There's not many salvations. There's not a variety of salvations. There's one salvation. Lord, my eyes have seen your salvation. What was he looking at? What was Simeon looking at? What were his eyes looking at that his eyes beheld God's salvation? Were Simeon and Anna, the prophetess in the lesson for today, were they looking around them in amazement at the glory of the temple that they were standing in? We would say nowadays this huge complex would be like a mega church, and the temple is sort of like that. It is a huge complex. It is awe-inspiring. There's magnificent and beautiful buildings. They're decorated with votive gifts from thankful worshipers. Years later, Jesus' disciples would be astounded by the glories of the temple. My eyes have seen your salvation. Is that what they're looking at? Well, they could have been looking at all of the worship that was going on. In every corner, in every little tucked away place, you would find groups gathered in prayer, their hands lifted to God, groups gathered in studying his holy word led by a rabbi, people earnestly studying the Bible, the trumpets of the Levites blowing, the smell of the sacrifices being offered up, burnt offerings, sin offerings, guilt offerings, thank offerings. You would find devout and faithful believers like Mary and Joseph who came in just at that hour to bring their offering to the Lord. My eyes have seen your salvation. Is that what they were looking at? Well, Simeon and Anna could have been looking at the size of the crowds, a wonder in and of itself, thousands upon thousands of faithful people who had made a long journey or a once-in-a-lifetime journey to come to the holy city of Jerusalem. And you would meet there people from all different backgrounds, all different kinds of clothes. Some of the folks were dressed in a very costly sort of way, wealthy people, obviously. There's excitement in the air. There's electricity in the air. You feel like you're part of something. You're part of something important, something that matters, something that is bigger than yourself. And the crowds are so big that who knows? Maybe there's enough of us here that we could rise up, overthrow our adversaries, reestablish the kingdom of God, get rid of the Romans. My eyes have seen your salvation. Simeon and Anna could have taken all of those things, or maybe we would say mistaken all of those things for God's salvation. Instead, Simeon is looking someplace else when he speaks. My eyes have seen your salvation. What is he looking at? Well, you know. When you hold an infant in your arms, when new parents say, would you like to hold them? And you hold them in your arms, what do? No, you look down at the little baby. And of course, we make appropriate comments. They look like mom or dad, or they're so little, I forget how little they are. You look down at the infant themselves. And that's what Simeon is doing. He says, Lord, my eyes have seen your salvation. I see the salvation given by the true God, not some other God, as if there was such a thing. Not many salvations, but one salvation. Here it is. This is where you find it. Now, it's at this point that a person can stumble a little bit when we hear such a thing, because you might think to yourself, you know, with all of the problems that there are in the world and all of the wars and all of the diseases and all of the corruption and all of the crime and all the environmental damage and all of the injustice and whatever else is out there, what does the good Lord do? He sends a baby. He sends a baby that you have to feed, that you have to burp, that you have to bathe, that you have to change, that you have to wrap them up to keep warm. All the problems there are, and God does what? He sends a baby. Now, if it was you and me as the good Lord, what would we send? Who would we send? Well, if you didn't watch enough of the Marvel Comics movies, who would you send? Probably send Superman, right? You send Superman to solve things. Because Superman, at the very least, could bring us what? Three things. Truth, justice, and the American way. There you go. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Truth, justice, and the American way. And it sounds nice, but the problem is that enough? It's not enough. Because there's a problem out there that lies behind all of the wars and all of the diseases and corruption and crime and environmental damage and injustice and whatever else is out there. And then after that, you don't have anything to look forward to. You look forward to hell, the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, because you got a problem and it's still stuck on you. And the problem is what? The problem is your sin, for which there is hell to pay. Now, Superman can round up a few bad guys. And when the bad guys point their guns at him, what can Superman do? He can bend the barrel, right? Because he's so strong. But could Superman pay the price of human sin? It would take more than that. It takes more than that because of all of the sin that is in this world. Your sin, my sin, thought, word, and deed. There's only one who could do it, and that's only the Lord God himself. The only problem we have is that he doesn't look like the Lord God. He looks like a little baby because he is a little baby in Simeon's arms, but that's who we're dealing with. You're dealing with the good Lord, the Lord God himself. Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Word, that's our Lord Jesus, the Word became flesh. The Word was God. That's who we're dealing with this little baby. Or take it further. St. Paul elaborates on it in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. A little lengthy, but bear with. He says, he, that's our Lord Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you as holy and blameless and above reproach before him. What's the word repeated over and over again? You run out of the letter H, right? Him, he. Everything is about the Lord Jesus. Our faith is about the Lord Jesus. Ultimately, all history is about the Lord Jesus. And so you end up ultimately at the book of Acts, chapter 4, where St. Paul is preaching to some folks, and he says this. He says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. How else are you going to slice that? And how else are you going to slice John chapter 14? Jesus said to Thomas, remember Thomas, doubting Thomas? Jesus said to Thomas, he said to him what? I am a way, I am a truth, I am a life. Anybody can come to the Father any way they choose. No, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Sometimes this is the second place where you can stumble a little bit, because you can be troubled, and I've been troubled at times, by the exclusivity of the Christian faith. Because you say to yourself, logically, there shouldn't be only one way to God. But then you open your Bible, and the Bible says what? It says, logically, there shouldn't be any way to God. There should not be any way to God because of the problem of what? The problem of your sin. A sinful person can't stand before Almighty God. God can't dwell in his presence. How could it happen? Well, it couldn't happen from you, so it had to happen from someplace else. It happens from where? It happens from the Lord God himself. And you know the scripture, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God opened the door. God opened a way. He made a way when there was none. There's an analogy I like to use. I've used it a few times in sermons, but if you've heard it before, bear with me. Imagine for a moment that you are in a burning building and you are trapped in the burning building and there is no way out of the burning building and the flames are getting close and the smoke is filling the air and you're beginning to choke and you realize this is it for me. I'm done. And then all of a sudden, an axe smashes through a door. And then it smashes through it again and again. And the door gets busted down and there's a firewoman or fireman either way. And the fireman says what? They say, time to go. Time to go. And what do you do? Do you look for the nearest chair and sit down and cross your arms and say, I think that's too exclusive. I believe that there are many ways out of this burning building. Is that what you do, or do you say, get me out of here? Get me out of here. My eyes have seen your salvation. That's what my eyes want to see, and that is what I need right now. Christian people know. What do we know? The wages of sin is death. I'm in a burning building. But the free gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. One gift, eternal life, one source, the Lord Jesus our Savior. In other words, the Lord came for you. And the Lord got you. And that is why Simeon and Anna, in the midst of the huge crowd at the temple and all the hubbub and all the music and all the Bible studying go on, Simeon and Anna aren't looking at any of it. Where are they looking? They're not stirred by the music. They're not electrified by the crowds. Their eyes are fixed where? They're fixed upon the little baby. The little baby who would become a man and go to the cross. And that is where faith, saving faith, trusting faith, right faith, whatever you want to call it, that's where faith always looks. Only to him. Only at the Lord Jesus. And with your eyes on him, what do you say? You speak with the words of the Holy Spirit speaking through Simeon. We'll sing him at the end of church. What do you say? Lord, you now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. My eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.